And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Verse 43. You have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? If you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Gospel of the Lord. Please take a seat. Just now, Brother Matthew asked me, have I not preached here for the past 15 years? And I was telling myself, I have not stood here for at least 10 years. The Lord has sent me into somewhere into prison. And I want to thank the training in Hokkien service. And when I see Reverend Fang's daughter here, I remembered him profoundly because he was the one who taught us how to read Hokkien when I was in a choir. And so it is very important. As I prepared a sermon last October, you would think, hey, so long, eh? But I was given this task by our beloved pastor, Reverend Seat. One day he discovered that I am actually the Methodist lay preacher licensed to preach. And I've been not sleeping. I've not been standing here for the past 10 years because the Lord has a wonderful plan for me. The Sermon on the Mount, the book by John Stott, I will give credit to him because I refer and I read this book meditatively as I travel to U.S., as I travel everywhere. I was looking at this topic, love without limit. Today, I also mentioned two persons, but I had to obtain their permission because of PDPA. One is my own friend. I don't mention, you can go and guess after the service. The other one is my own wife, Su Fen. And so I had to ask her for permission, just in case something happened at home. Huh? So these are the people that I want to credit. I want to give thanks to God that they helped me to set some examples to share with you this morning. And without further delay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We commit this time to God. Lord, help us to understand your word. And this morning we pray that your spirit will hover across the congregation. Let us hear your voice, a particular verse, a particular example that will strike us, O Lord. Speak to us, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is my first time doing this on the pulpit with the PowerPoint, so if it goes wrong, bear with me. Okay. I want to thank Marcus. Marcus did the final touches to this PowerPoint, the color, and I want to thank him personally. Even though I've been doing this for 33 years, doing presentation as a salesman. Today, there are four illustrations that review four different life situations. And if you look at the Bible, you would think the first one is the person who wants to harm us or injure us. Do you have such friend like this or enemy? The second one is the person who wants to drag us to court. I know of this case many, many years ago in the Methodist Youth Fellowship. And I heard of a Sue case. And I don't know whether it's true, but I know that somebody wants to sue somebody. The third case is the person is compelling us to do something for them, demanding service. The fourth one is the person is begging begging money from us. And so you can identify there's body, there's clothing, there's service, and there is money. Firstly, I have to explain the law, and then the love, and then I conclude by telling you the practice of love, and then I will conclude by illustration. And so that is the content. And I try to keep within 30 minutes. If it's too long, then I will shut down some examples. As the Spirit leads me, first we explain to you the verse, an eye for an eye, found in verse 38. This quote was actually taken out from the Old Testament, where the judge will follow the principle of exact retribution. The punishment will feed the crime committed, and the compensation extracted from the attacker was to be exact equivalent and no more. So the Mosaic law has the effect of defining peace and restraining revenge. Serious injury, eye for an eye, recorded in Exodus 21, 23, 25, reads, if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, an eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And this is the judicial system that was established long time ago. And similar judgments are recorded in Leviticus 24, 20, Deuteronomy, just now we read 19, but this one is 21. And if you can recall Pastor Seed's sermon, if you have recorded it on 15 January, he says in Isaiah 42:4, he will not falter or discourage till he establishes justice on earth. In order to let justice prevail in the wilderness during Moses' time, a set of law was established and given to govern the order and the life of the Israelites. Unfortunately, the Pharisees and the religious teachers of today, right, extended the law beyond the court of law to personal relationship. So this law is used in the judicial system now, is used on personal relationship where it did not belong. And so they are using a biblical principle to justify an unbiblical action. If someone punches you, you can punch back. And this is what the law says. Is this what the law says? Of this false expression we have read in the paradox form, they must not be taken literally. The fundamental meaning of the passage is to show Christian love, enduring twice as much as the enemy will love us to see us break down in our human weakness. Your enemy will injure or harm you, sue you or take it away, demand more and more, or borrow from you more and more. Are you able to love such a person without the limit? And so quickly we come to love without limit. If you look in verses 39, 42, Jesus is telling the disciples, instead of depending on law, our relationship are to be based on love. It is not on justice alone. Our new commandment from God is to love one another, not to sue each other. Imagine you go to somebody's house and you bring an article or something precious in the dining room. And after the visit, your friend, you receive a lawyer letter and say, this is to sue you, you know. Do you think you still become friend and still continue to go to the house, or you avoid the person altogether? And I believe you'll become the enemy. Two Wednesday ago, I was very privileged. I had this timing that I came and sat down, and that was David Leong preaching in the Wednesday lunchtime meeting. And he says love based on John 13, 34, 35, that it is God's command that we love one another. The second one I remind you is our duty for those who wrong us. It is not retaliation, but to accept injustice without revenge. Do not resist an evil person. God is telling us to accept evil without retaliation. The judge still rules, but on personal level, we need to forgive. And that's why the righteousness of the kingdom If you look in chapter 5, beginning of chapter 5, the blessings of God, the eight blessings, it is only possible through the real help of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is possible except by Jesus, by the Spirit. And so now we come to how do we respond in love for each situation. In each situation, God is telling us to avoid taking revenge or retaliating. We are in fact allowing that person to double our misery and to slap you on the right cheek, allow him to slap you on the left cheek. You tell me, Fan Ming, is it serious or not? Well, by so doing, we are weakling. We do not stand up or we do not fight back. Hey, how come you have been trampled on? It's really, really ridiculous teaching if you look at chapter 5. But here in a real spiritual sense, or in a real spiritual meaning, Jesus is talking about strength instead of weakness. It will take incredible strength to act in love towards those who hurt us. You can remember those who hurt us. It takes a selfless person who is injured to refuse taking personal revenge. And for this, you see two pictures there. Look at the top pictures. Corinne Dan Boon. I took it from the internet. I think that's a real picture, right? So he's a very old lady. Corinne Dan Boon lived with her sister, Bessie, during World War II. And what they did, they hid a lot of Jews from the Nazis. The story of Nazis, you can look at the internet. And one day, they were found out and were thrown into the concentration camp to work. Unfortunately, Bessie, the second sister, right, died in that camp. They were under torture. They were suffering. After World War II, Corinne Dan Boon started to preach in Germany about forgiveness. She talks about love. Immediately after the sermon, she was preaching a sermon in Germany. An ex-Nazi soldier went up to her and shook her hands, telling Corinne that he was that soldier that caused so much suffering and pain to the prisoner of war, POW. And feeling unbelievable, Corinne stretched out her hands, and an electric feeling flew from her to the shoulder. And later she quoted as saying, according to the internet I had just recovered, "Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Today, God knows the condition of your heart. Who is your greatest enemy in the office or around you?" When I preached this sermon, I was trying a trial run. Every time I have a trial run, I preached it in prison last November. And I sense a lot of uneasiness because within our brothers in prison or in Changi, I can sense that they were telling themselves, if I got a chance to come out, I will take revenge. And if we get a chance to meet or to get even with that person, I will do that. But I tell you today, the Lord is telling you to let go and let God be the judge. In Romans 12, where love is being expounded in great detail, it was followed by a similar advice: do not take revenge. And I want you, let us to read the verse in front of you. Can you see? Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21. We read together, okay? Ready? One, two, go. "Do not repent anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Because possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, and I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, you feed him. If he is thirsty, you give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coal on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You feel good, right? After reading it. And in Eagles, where I'm attending every Saturday BS, we used to read the Bible verse. Okay, how come there's an image over there? Okay, now we quickly come to the next point. The second illustration involves demanding not only our clothing, but we should give more and more to our enemy. No one can forgive an enemy like what Corinne Ten Boom had done to her enemy. If your enemy has made you suffer and suffer, and finally you met him, and you say, oh, this is my chance, hallelujah. But no, have you suffered under a person who stripped you of the material blessing? And here is the observation. It is not to be scared or fearful, but to return the act of evil with even more material blessing. Bless that person. Have you tried blessing instead of thinking of doing something otherwise? Try blessing the person with material things. Thirdly, quickly, in serving the table, the servant not only has to put up a smile, but even go an extra mile to satisfy someone with a particular request. And that's the power of selfless service, with the intention to overcome evil with plenty of love. I always think of the Singapore Airlines people who, you know, the passengers who demanded a lot of service. But here at home, we have a particular group of sisters and brothers who serve the breakfast table. It is not an easy task to prepare food. And otherwise, people come and tell them, why is this not done? What is this not good? It is not an easy task, but I must salute them. I give thanks to God for the group of brothers and sisters who go another mile with love. Sometimes, okay, you know, bad mood, but it's always with love. We serve with love to go an extra mile to serve our own brother and sisters. Last and not least, when I talk about give to the one who asks of you, do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. I must tell you this personal principle I have. Do not borrow from me, neither I will borrow from you. And that's my personal principle. But the Bible says otherwise. One day, I give my example, my wife, Su Fern. She actually don't have enemy. Enemies are created sometimes in your office. And so she has this enemy in the office. And this enemy will look at her with green eyes. Jealous lah. You know, in the office when you're promoted, or you're special favorite, the boss look at you, and then you got promoted. And so this lady became the enemy. She knows, because this lady will gossip behind her back, and gossip fly across the whole building. I tell you which building, after the service. And then this lady will keep on grumbling. But one day, the enemy, this enemy's husband, got into trouble. And his printing business went downhill. And he wanted a few $1,000s to tie over. And so I do not know why the husband asked the wife, working with my wife, and say, why don't you borrow from that Christian? She knows I'm worshipping at Telo Ai. And so this lady came reluctantly. In fact, it's not the lady, it's the man who came, who knows my wife, and said, can I borrow money from you? What would you do? It was a few $1,000s, not a few cents or a few $100s, you know, a few thousand. And my wife discussed with me, because she was not sure. And finally, we say, okay, let's give it to him. Lo and behold, a few months later, it's, I think, after 1 year, we don't even think about the amount that we gave. And the man came back and returned the money. Hallelujah. The principle of borrowing, you can learn for yourself. It is so easy to say, to love the lovable and walk away from the enemy. And so I'll describe to you who is your enemy. How do we define neighbor? Oh, neighbor, we are the same race, same type. This is my neighbor. And suddenly within my floor, there are four otherwise race. I cannot tell you which race, but anyway, they are not the same race, and so you become prejudiced. In old tradition, Jewish tradition, right? In old Jewish tradition, he is someone of the same race, embrace same religion, so they can love their neighbor easily, yeah, but hate others out of own race. But in contrast, Jesus is teaching us, telling us to love not only our neighbor, but our enemy. Who is our enemy? Our enemy is a person in need, whose need is known, and you are in position to help. I can say again, who is your enemy? Your enemy is a person in need, whose need is known, and you are in a position to help. In other words, you are to love the Indians, the China, the Chinese, or every race found on earth, no exception. And I, as the Spirit reminded me as I sat there, let me tell you a very fresh testimony. I noticed this couple wandering around my block. But not wandering, is actually walking around. And for the past few months, I just ignore them because they are simply not dressed up. Oh, I know they are from China, you know. But I would still say, hello, hello, you know. Even my wife would say, you even hello to the cat and dogs, okay? And so I hello to this couple. And one fine day, I think it's last month, I stop them and say, where do you come from? 讲华语啊,不是讲英文啊. So because they are all Jiangsu resident. And so I talk to them and they say, oh, I'm from China. And so we happily talk. And lo and behold, I didn't preach. A lot of people think I'm a preacher, but I didn't preach really. And they were so happy, so joyful. I say, hey, what do you do on weekend? Oh, I go to church. Oh, so they looks like they wanted to go to church too. And so I pop up a question. I say, would you like to follow me to church? But not to this congregation because they are Chinese speaking. So I brought them to church last week to the Mandarin service. And lo and behold, they came and we have this very good befriender and the usher. They're very 很热情啊, very passionate. And we were sitting there and they witnessed a Jiangsu a member going back home, and they were baptized. He was baptized, and so because it is an old village, so they went up and congratulate. And after that, they went down, and after that clarification talking, they went off. And if you have some of you have met them last week, they were at the buffet table, and they were so bubbly and they were happy. Then some of them were deep within me, I know they are going back this week, 22. But during the service and after the service, there was none that, you know, they were telling about the gospel, about the cross, but none actually make the conclusion. And this week I was so disturbed as I saw them once in a gym at night, 9:30, usually after the Korean movie, my wife and I would go down for a walk. And then we saw them there and they were smiling and like they wanted to talk. Then we went on, you know. And so lo and behold, on Thursday night, I decided to stop because my burden was not lifted up. It was very uneasy. I stopped them and I said, hey, let me tell you the real story. Not the real story. The story of Jesus, how he died, how he came. And lo and behold, to cut the story short, they say the sinner's prayer. If the person of the couple say the sinner's prayer and with their sincere heart, I would take it as they are saved. And they will come back this coming October to attend the baptism class or attend the disciple class over in Mandarin. And I thank God that God reminded me, do not overlook. And I was looking for an audience, but God says, that's it, that's the couple. And thank God for this wonderful salvation. This elderly Jiangsu resident, they are going back. And I hope and pray they will find a church over that land. Verses 43 to 48. You saw that man, right? Can you? It tells you how to bless. Verses 43, 48. 43 to 48 commands us to love our enemy. How do we love? How do we love in a practical way? May I suggest from out of the verse, three things that you can do as I close. Speak good. Always speak good. Last October, my wife and I went for a Japanese tour.
And we had two couples from here, the congregation. And we went on a Japanese, not tour, but mountain climbing tour, supposed to be mountain climbing. And so I called it tour because along the way we saw a lot of flowers and a lot of persimmon on the trees. And then among the six of us, there was one person in the picture, if you can see him. He is a very positive brother because he always reminded us, even if we get lost, sometimes in the free and easy tour, you'll get lost, wrong station, wrong train going wrong direction or right, whatever, you get lost. And so this brother says, hey, even if we get lost, don't get frustrated. Take it as a new destination. And his words during our free and easy tour were all positive and encouraging. And in my working place, I was handling a group of country managers as a product manager. And I was six, there's one who is very negative. So sometimes in the office, there could be some negative people that you cannot get along. And every time you email, they will come back with negative remarks. And then that person became your enemy. You don't like him. But as Christians, we need to speak well of the person. We need to talk about the positive aspect of the person so that less friction can be created in the working place. So I told his staff that he is a very purpose-driven manager. So speak well, ties into your tongue. Your tongue is a small part. Before you talk, think about what you're going to talk about that person. It is very important. James 3:5. You rather bless than to curse that person. We chose to bless with good words. And when we are angry, our words may become a curse. So don't be angry. Bless the person. Quickly, we go to number two. Pray good. In the verse, in the Bible, chapter 5, always pray for your enemy, like Carrie Don Boone. It is not easy to start praying. Can you pray for the person who sabotaged you at work? And this week was so difficult because there's a turn of event in my job, and I cannot but reminded myself to pray for that manager. It could be your manager in the office politics. It could be somebody you're struggling as you dream of him day and night. Bad dreams, not good dreams. Is it true? Try this method. Start praying for that person. Lift up his name and see how the situation changes. The third one is do good. Always behave well with that person. Doing is believing. You treasure the opportunity that arise during working hours. So one day the enemy appeared before Corinne Damboon. She had no choice. She has no choice. But by God's power, extended her hand and forgave her enemy. Do you have this opportunity in your class or in your office to offer love than to show our ugly side of ourselves? One day I was driving home happily from my office in Novena. And then as I drove, I was happy because going home after 5. But a taxi behind me, suddenly I have a jolt. Suddenly I have a shock because one taxi came behind and then accidentally kissed my back, which is the car. And so I told him, please go to the side of the road so I can deal with him, And that taxi driver was trembling, actually. And I said, wow, what am I going to do? I'm going to extort, or maybe I'm going to ask for a few $100. And as I moved to the side of the road, I had a very loud voice from within my heart. And this voice is, have mercy, have mercy. What did I do? I actually asked the driver to sign an agreement that he's responsible for the accident. Then when I came down, I saw the scratches, and I say, and there was a voice that I couldn't resist, and I obey. Hey, we close the case, you go. And he was shocked because he was trembling like that. And he was trembling and with a passenger in front, and he left. He was so happy when I say, you go free. Imagine you did something wrong, and then you say, you're free. Hallelujah. Yeah, he went free. Let me finish with one story behind. And this story is about a farmer and a hunter. Can you see the dogs? These are ferocious, very untrained dogs.
So this farmer and the hunter living side by side as neighbors. And the hunter has a pack of dogs, untrained, jumping all over the place. So one day, the dog jumped over the fence. And the farmer has a lot of chickens. And the chickens were hurt, severely injured. And the hunter never say sorry, never come and apologize, because he couldn't see anything. As the farmer, many times already, and so the farmer, we call it the one last straw broke the camel's back, he went and consulted a judge in the city. So he asked the judge. The judge said, wow, you have a case. You can win the case, because there's an injured chicken, and the chicken can become a curry chicken or a fried chicken, but it's injured, or it's dead, you know. And so the judge relented and said, hey, wait, friend. It's a good judge, huh? And he said, hey, I think you better don't go this way. If you sue him, he'll become your immediate foe, your immediate enemy. Then I tell you a solution. If you can accept, you go ahead. If not, then continue your suit. You have every right to sue. And the farmer heard the solution. He went home. I said, be a brilliant idea. And so the farmer came up with three chickens, because the hunter has three sons. So he gave three lovely chickens. Chicks, not chicken. Chickens. Chicks, small little chick. They are lovely, yeah? So he gave three little chicks to the hunter. And the hunter, knowing that the dogs are very playful, they might kill the son or they may kill the chicken. And so the hunter said, okay, let me think of a solution. Can you see the kennel there, kennel? Yeah, the house of the dogs at the bottom. And so he built a beautiful house. And from that day onwards, the dogs are all inside the kennel. They're inside the house, small house. The hunter were grateful, and so gave him some game, some hunted meat to the farmer. The farmer was overjoyed, and so gave some farmer's chicken eggs to the hunter. That day onwards, they became good neighbor. Hallelujah. You have any right to sue, but you go that way, or you say, let him go. I come with God's love. Let's pray. My brother and sisters, are you aware of any enemy whom you need to begin to act in love? Can you turn the other cheek towards someone who harass you or seek to harm you in one way or another? And so, Lord, we heard your voice. We pray that we will respond. We will respond in obedience to your voice, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.